The Bull Session continues on the Richard Serrett Show. News Talk, Saga 960 AM.
I'm back. There is a new report out from the AEI Brookings Working Group on Childhood in the United States. And one of the chapters is called Rebalancing Children First. And the working group, their research evidence indicates something that's it's not surprising to me, that on average, children who have A, two parents who are committed to one another, B, a stable home life, C, more economic resources, and D, the advantage of being intended or welcomed by their parents, are more likely to flourish. Now, in general, they say they believe that evidence suggests marriage is the best path to the favorable outcomes, outcomes highlighted above. Marriage is, of course, not the only path that allows children to succeed. Many children raised by single parents and cohabiting parents thrive in life. Even so, in the United States, marriage continues to be the institution most likely to combine those four benefits outlined for the sake of children. Those four benefits, those four ingredients, again, two parents who are committed to one another, B, a stable home life, C, more economic resources, which usually comes as a result of marriage, and the advantage of being welcomed or wanted by their parents. On average, children in these situations, or in this situation, tend to flourish. Dr. Vermeil D. Green is an educator, author of Please Teach Me Like I'm a Boy, 10 Steps to His Success in School and in Life, and executive of the Boys Initiative. Dr. Green, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just sparkling, Richard, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. It's great to talk to you again. It's been too long. My fault. So I'm not sure to what extent you had a chance to look at this study that came out of the AEI Brookings Group. Any general thoughts before we sort of dive deep?
Well, it continues to amaze me how some of the research that comes out now just confirms what many of us have known for decades. And all of a sudden, you know, the two-parent home, that's what it should be. And it's like a cycle. You remember back in the days when there was a show on, I believe it was, I can't remember the exact title, she was a single mom and she had a baby. One of the gentlemen who was running for vice president criticized the fact that they were, you know, celebrating single parenthood. And when he said that, oh my goodness, you would have thought that he called her the worst thing on the planet. Because they say, oh, no, single parents are great, single parenthood is fine. But now, when they see the damage that it has done in our families and in society, they're beginning to see the error of their ways. Of course, they'll never admit it, but
of course.
But yes. Hopefully they now see the light.
That program was Murphy Brown with Candace Bergen.
That's right.
And that was Dan Quayle. It was George Herbert Walker Bush's vice president who dared to suggest the obvious that, you know, maybe single parenthood is not the ideal. It's sometimes it's unavoidable, you know, and this isn't about harshly judging single parents, because sometimes through no fault of their own, they find themselves in that situation. The point is, on average, children flourish in this type of situation. It is the ideal situation. Two loving, committed parents, ideally married, not just cohabiting, because that's an important ingredient, isn't it, in all of this? And that is when they have more economic resources. And that economic advantage often comes through the institution of marriage. How does that work?
You're exactly right. That committed relationship is key. That someone just can't, you know, get angry because you burned the toast and walk out the door, you know, with no kind of commitment, either legal or moral commitment at all. And it's important to model this kind of relationship to the children. Children aren't stupid. They know when they look around and their friends or parents or Mr. and Mrs. Smith or Mr. and Mrs. Jones, But my parents, they don't have the Mr. and Mrs. in front of their name. So they began to wonder, okay, well, what's with my parents? So again, it is so important to model to children. And again, that committed relationship is going to keep you together despite the downtimes that inevitably come in all relationships.
Take a quick timeout, Dr. Green. Stay with us and we'll continue to talk about the importance of family structure and stability when it comes to children. Back with more of our conversation right after these.
Just having a little chin wag on The Richard Serrett Show. News Talk, Saga 960 AM.
Welcome back. Yet more evidence, another study to throw on the pile that is as high as a mountain. I don't think I've ever seen a report or a study that doesn't confirm that marriage matters to children. And the children who grow up in a stable home with a mother and a father who are involved in a committed, loving relationship, with the attended economic benefits that that brings, greater economic resources, that those children on average flourish. Marriage matters to children. Dr. Vermeil Green is with us, author of Please Take Me or Teach Me Like I'm a Boy, 10 Steps to His Success in School and Life, and she's executive director of the Boys Initiative. What is the jeopardy for a child who is not in this type of situation? What does the data show us? What happens to children on average who grow up in, let's say, a single parent household?
This really hurts our boys. And you know, that's where my heart is. You know, I love my girls too. I used to be a little girl, so. But with our boys, this is such a tragedy for our boys. When you look at the prison population, when you look at those who are doing poorly in school, many times they are the sons, usually of single moms. Boys need their fathers. Moms can feed them and clothe them and even provide housing for them, but moms can't teach that young man how to be a man. Can't teach that boy what it means to live with character that a man has. Or the responsibilities that a man has. So, and girls need their fathers as well. And I'm not downplaying the role of mothers, but research has shown that if a child can only live with one parent, it's really better for that parent, one parent, to be the father. Now, don't throw anything at me. You know, I'm only, you know, don't kill the messenger. And I can see why. Well, one thing, that boy, as I said, needs that father to demonstrate manhood. And the girl needs that father to demonstrate and confirm her femininity. That father affirms her. He demonstrates to her how a young man should treat her. She looks at how he, her father, treats her mother. And she can then say, all right, I'm not going to allow you to mistreat me because I have seen it demonstrated in my home. And the same thing for the little boy. The little boy sees a father who loves his mother. And we've heard that very wise adage that the best thing for a father to do is to love their children's mother. And that is so wise. I can remember myself with growing up, my dad, and fortunately, my mom, even though she divorced, she very quickly married a wonderful man, my stepdad. And I can remember how he helped me so much to develop into a young woman. He would just tell me, and when I would dress up nicely for church, he would say, oh, you, honey, you look so cute. And I would say, well, thank you, Daddy. And, you know, he just compliments like that, so that when the guy down the street wanted to come up and talk to me. And unfortunately, like some girls, they fall prey to sweet talking guys. When a guy tried to do that with me, I was like, you know, I don't have to listen to you. My own daddy tells me I'm cute. My own daddy tells me how I'm, in the vernacular of the 1970s, how fly I am. But so girls need that. Girls need that, and boys need that as well. not at all downplaying the importance of the nurturing mother for both the son and the daughter.
So divorce rates are falling in the United States and in Canada, but that's only because fewer people are getting married, unfortunately. So how do we make marriage this valuable institution that it is? How do we promote that in society? How do we make it not cool again? But, you know, I always say, if you want to be a rebel, get married, have a family, go to church. That makes you a rebel these days. How do we do that?
It does. It does. A lot of that is due to the media. You know, what people see in the media, how marriage is portrayed. Very few shows demonstrate, you know, the marriage, the loving, committed marriage. Usually the father is trying to fool the mother and the mother's trying to outdo, and the kids are showing that they're smarter than both of them. So a lot of that is what is demonstrated. I grew up in the 50s where it was father knows best and leave it to Beaver. And when Beaver had a problem, you know, he didn't go to his buddy. He went to his dad. And so all that was portrayed, and that's what I grew up with. But now you turn on TV and, oh my goodness, you know, fathers are portrayed as bumbling fools. And again, what young man wants to grow up to model his father if he thinks his father is a fool? So it, part of it, big part of it starts with the media. But as you said, also, faith component is so important. The church needs to step up where the media has fallen. Even schools need to start recognizing that both parents are important. Even if the parents, unfortunately, may not be together, they should have opportunities where a child can bring both parents to school. You know, Dad's Day, Donuts with Dad, I used to hear about, and Mom coming in as well. It is so important that the different institutions in society celebrate it and show that families are the foundation of society. When families break down, the relationships in those families break down, society breaks down. I remember a show that I used to listen to and still do on occasion, Focus on the Family. And when he talked about that, how, you know, families are the foundation to society, you know, I thought about that. I said, well, you know, I never considered that, but it truly is. That is the foundation on which all other relationships reside. And when, again, as it falls, then crime goes up and divorce rates, you know, go up and all those other negative aspects of society increases.
Dr. Vermeil D. Green, please teach me like I'm a boy, 10 steps to his success in school and in life. Very quickly, how do we get a copy?
Well, my book, Please Teach Me Like I'm a Boy, is being sold on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. But also, Richard, I'd like to invite people to visit our website, theboysinitiative.org, and also helpingboysthrive.org/theboysinitiative. Helping Boys Thrive is the name of a summit that we will be hosting, a virtual summit that folks in Canada, the United States, or anywhere else can come visit and come and hear from experts who will be talking about fatherhood and the importance of family when it comes to our boys. So it's called Helping Boys Thrive, looking at the issues and trends affecting our boys. It's going to be April 29th and 30th. People can visit our website and see more information and hopefully tune in and come in for those 2 days.
Fantastic. Dr. Vermeil Green, I don't believe for a minute you grew up in the 50s, incidentally. Right. We'll talk again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, God, for allowing me to look like this.
God bless.
Thank you.